NBRN. Your Country Roots radio station.
You're listening to Real Country Legends with R.B. Renegade. Real Country Legends, where the past is never forgotten.
I have Marty Martell from Hendersonville, Tennessee with me today. Marty operates a business called Midnight Special Productions, MSP, which books country music acts. Marty had been a touring singer and guitar player in the country music business since the 1960s, and in 1987, he incorporated MSP as his way to book himself around the country and around the world. Welcome to the show, Marty. I'm so pleased that you could join me today.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to this. I appreciate it, and sounds like you've done your homework. I appreciate that, too.
Now, that's no problem. Were you aware that last Sunday I interviewed Stonewall Jackson? I believe he works with you.
I was aware of it. Stonewall is such a great interview, and of course he's one of our great, great legends. Country music, you know, just the name's synonymous with country music, Stonewall Jackson. And it must have been a good interview. I'm just wondering if you got a word in edgewise, because he can talk.
Not really, but what a gentleman. What a fine gentleman. I tell you, some of the newer artists, some of the independent artists, and those could learn a real lesson from that gentleman.
If they would listen, they would. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I understand that you run your business away from Music Row. Is there a benefit to that personally or professionally?
I don't know, Arby, if there's a benefit. To me, there is, because Music Row is now lost all its glitter. It used to be Music Row is where you went down. You shopped your wares, your talents, everything that you came to Nashville for, you could go down to Music Row on 16th, 17th, and 18th, and you could try to become successful, and at least you could get through the doors. Now there's no more doors open because of the consolidation, and of course country music is in the worst decline that it's ever been in, and it's been that way for 10 years, and they've now just got to the point where they admit it. So it's best to just be here. I go down to Music Row once every 2 or 3 weeks only because I have to deliver anything. There's nothing down there for me. The major agencies are down there, and even some of those have moved off of the row. So times have changed, and I feel better at home where I can do my business and not have to worry about people slamming the door in my face.
Oh, that makes sense to me. Now, what do you personally attribute the decline in country music to?
Well, radio and record people. New record people come in and force their production on us. The people that really know how to produce records, we're producing country records. Every record doesn't have to be steel, guitar, and fiddle, but it can still be really traditional country. But when they took that away, they took a demographics of people that just were not going to put up with this. And it shows, because they don't go to the record store and buy records any longer. And the decline is not getting any better. And new technology has made it much more easier for people to steal music, which they take away from our writers. It also it's given us a chance to hear music without having to worry about listening to radio all the time. And radio now has new disc jockeys, which some of them don't know Gene Shepherd from Stonewall Jackson, and they don't seem to care about finding out who they were, who they are, and what they had to do with laying the groundwork for country music. So times have changed everything, and not to the best.
I think I have to agree with you on that. I prefer the traditional country music, but even I listen to some of the newer stuff, but we have to remember where this music came from, who our inspirations were, and who laid this groundwork, as far as I'm concerned. I understand your office is full of personal mementos from your touring days and acts that you've worked with over the years.
I've been fortunate to have that. They're just exactly what you said there. They're mementos. And it keeps my mind focused on where I was, what I've done, and I'm still here, not singing like I used to. In fact, I'm not singing at all, but the mementos remind me of the ones that we've lost and lets me know that back then was a great time for all of us. And the young ones, and don't get me wrong, there are new young ones that love the old music. They're just not being able to sing it because the record company won't do that, because the record company knows that the corporate channel that owns most of the radio station will not play it. So it's the mementos are great to have, and it's something to work off of also. When you remember what you've done and how it got to where it is, then you have something to go forward with.
Oh, I agree with that. Now, you run a Legends Fest. That's a concept to get the classic country acts back on the road. Tell us why you have such a fondness for the older country artists. I think you've already done that.
Well, because I've toured with them. I know what they want, and I know what their needs are, and I know what their pricing is. And the reality here is that many of our legendary artists, if you take them into a major venue that seats 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people, they're not going to draw like they did when they were hot. But put them into a package format, and that's what my expertise is now. Put them together on the same stage, 20, 25 minutes apiece. Somebody may not want to come to see Stonewall, but they come to see Jack Green. And putting them together has made it very successful. So Legends Fest was brought into conception, and I'm the one that brought it there. There's a lot of people that have copied it. A lot of people have stole some of the acts. I brought it, and I nurtured it, and I'm proud of it, and I'm glad those other people stole it, because by that doing that, they gave work to the Legends, and if the Legends now know that a package format is the best way to go, and it's wonderful to see them together on stage.
Well, and I think when someone steals something you created, it's also a highest compliment. It doesn't necessarily make you happy, but it's a compliment.
It is. Thank you.
You were Johnny Paycheck's manager for a number of years, I understand. You credit that relationship with helping to open the doors when you first started getting Legends Fest going. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, you know, when I got off the road in 1994 at Johnny Paycheck's request. I had made a statement to him, and John had been through the ups and downs like nobody else in this business. He had made a real bed of nails to work on. He was not the easiest person to work with. But when he came to me, I put my first foot forward, and I said, this is the way I have to have it. Now tell me what you need. Johnny Paycheck gave me an opportunity to open the doors that normally were closed for me and anybody else that wanted to do what I wanted to do. He taught me more than I could ever learn. And I owe John Paycheck every bit of success that I ever had.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, I understand Ralph Emery also played a part, or does play a part in the Legends Fest program. Is that right?
Ralph did up till about a couple of years ago when he opted to get off the road because he was going to do the television show on RFD, the television station. It's been very successful. Ralph had spent a lot of years on the road, but he was very helpful to me in his advice and in his character. And what he brought to the table, and he brought a lot of people in to see the show because he was on the Nashville Network for 10 years. So he was very instrumental in teaching me what he thought I should go with it. And Ralph Emery has been a dear friend and such a helpful person in my life.
Now, I think you touched on it a bit, but how does the Legend Fest received around the country or for that matter, around the world? Are you getting
sold
the audience?
Out. Sold out constantly. I just finished in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at the American Music Theater on June 27th. I had Bill Anderson, I had John Conley, Gene Shepherd, Jack Green, Stonewall Jackson, and Jan Howard on the show. Totally sold out. 1,632 seats for two shows. It's been that way for 6 years up there, twice a year. I'm going back in August. But it's a different type of show. Let's call it Legends Fest 2. Because, you know, you can't use the word Grand Ole Opry on the Legends Fest. You can talk about it in a media, or I can talk to you about it, but you can't use it in a promotion. That's where the Grand Ole Opry has screwed everything up. They have messed the business of what the Grand Ole Opry and Legends stand for. You know, the Grand Ole Opry doesn't sell tickets. The names sell the tickets. And that's and Legends Fest is a strong commodity. Trust me.
Now, okay, we've already talked about it a little bit, but we just don't hear traditional country music on commercial radio almost at all. Now, do you feel that United States radio has just done a grave injustice to that kind of music? I think you already said you believe it has, but...
Well, I mean, you asked the question and you answered it. I mean that sincerely. You have answered it. If it wasn't for overseas radio, and thank God for the stations that are not reporting stations, secondary stations, I don't know where country music would be right now. It's at a 22-23% decline to this point in time. It's going to get worse. It is going to get worse because people don't, you know, the demographics of the people that want to hear Stonewall Jackson is getting smaller. The point remains that we need some of those singers back in the business, and radio does not want to play, not all radio, but the radios that are reporting stations, you can't get them to play a record that is going to have featured steel guitar fiddles. They will not play it. So what do we do?
Now, where can our listeners find out more about Legends Fest and your company, Midnight Special Productions, if they want to see if there's a show going to be in their area, and where can they get more information?
Well, I didn't think you were ever going to ask me, but I'm glad you did. if all they have to do is remember this. All you got to go to is www.bestdamnshows.com. bestdamnshows.com. That shows you everything about me and my company. There's an email address, and I really like to hear from the fans. I let them know if there's a show going to be in their area, but everything that they want to know about me, they can go there and find.
Well, that's terrific, and I can assure you that in all my future shows, I'm certainly going to be reminding them about that website. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show today, Marty. The show Real Country Legends is all about keeping the fires burning for true traditional country music artists, those who are still with us and those who set the standard for the music that we all love and enjoy. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be with me today.
Thank you for allowing me to be on the show, and it sounds like you've already done your homework and you're doing the same thing I'm doing in a different capacity. So thank you so much, and I hope the listeners enjoyed our interview, and I hope to hear from them.
Well, thank you very much again.
All right.
You've been listening to Real Country Legends on NBRN. Join host RB Renegade every Sunday morning for more greats from the past. Until next week, let's keep on keeping it country. Keeping it country. Keeping it country.